But when the Lord started drawing on me, calling me back to Him, He had to break some things in me. He had to tear down some things in me. He had to break some bonds. He had to break some chains. He had to tear down some walls. He had to crush a hard heart and make it tender again. Well, sometimes I wish I wasn't as sensitive now as I am. I was out cutting the grass yesterday just in the presence of the Lord, and I was thankful I had sunglasses on, because the tears are just welling up in my eyes. I'm listening to a radio station playing Christian music, a lot of the songs that we sing here. And it just takes you into the presence of the Lord. You know, getting into the presence of the Lord is rarely easy. It's rarely convenient, is the word I'm looking for. But it's always worth it. We talked earlier about going to Applebee's. If you weren't here when we had our prayer before service, I talked about the Applebee's on Georgesville Square. If you've ever been there and you've opened that door to try and get into Applebee's, it's very difficult to open. I guess I just don't want it blowing open in the wind and in the weather, but man, it takes some effort. You get up there and there's like a suction on it. You got to break in order to get into that place. And sometimes when you're in your prayer life, you get to that place where, okay, I'm putting in my time and I'm putting in my hour. I'm putting in whatever your designated time is. Just talk to the Lord, your time to the Lord. And sometimes it feels like you're just putting in your time. Sometimes it feels like God's not even listening. God's not even hearing. But there comes a point where if you push a little farther, because God will take you in your prayer life, when you achieve a certain spot, He's not going to leave you there. And He'll maybe move back a little bit, so you have to go a little farther, a little deeper, a little harder in your prayer life, because what's on the other side is worth it. Just like that door at Applebee's. When you show up there, you're hungry. You're expecting that double bacon burger. That's what I like, that big bacon burger. I think that's what they call it, the big bacon burger. I'm a hamburger guy, and I like that. But I get there, and I know my appetite's going to be satisfied when I get that burger and those fries on the other side. And that's in the flesh. But my spiritual appetite needs to be satisfied even more. And so when I get to that door, and I'm feeling that resistance, and I'm feeling that suction that's trying to keep me out, it's worth the pull. It's worth the effort. It's worth the try to get that door open, because what's on the other side is going to fill my spiritual man. It's going to fill the inside. It's worth it. It's worth the effort. Not convenient, but it's worth it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll get my eyes on here. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit here. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the effort today. Lord, use your vessel today. God, give me words to speak, a mind that's clear and a heart that's receptive, Lord, to your word. Hallelujah, Lord. Help these words, Lord. Let them be powerful and mighty through your spirit to touch and change lives today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just want to simply talk to you today about something. This isn't what I was originally going to talk about. And God changed it Friday when I was driving home from work. I thought, oh boy, now there's a change up. God talks to me a lot in the car, because that's probably the most time I'm quiet. And I'm listening to, if I'm not listening to 610, which a lot of lately I haven't been listening to it. That used to be all I listened to. And man, I'll tell you what, the problems and the trials, and we live in a troubled world. Isn't it good to know we've got to know a God that's in charge of everything? He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything that goes on in between. He knows the valleys and the trials and the troubles, everything that this world's going through. They're talking about World War III, and they're talking about collapses of economy and this and that and the other. And it's always down, 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 depression, where our God is lifting up, up, up. And He's in charge and He's in control. And you got nothing to worry about if you put God first. Hallelujah. 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 So I just want to talk to you today, just a few minutes, about simply God knows. God knows. Psalm 139, I'm going to start in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. And he loved me anyways. He loves you anyways. Hallelujah. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wondrous for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Hallelujah. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. God knows. No matter where you go, no matter where you are, God knows. He's got his hand on you. Hallelujah. Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There's no darkness too dark that God can't light it up. Can't brighten it up. You can't have a dark day where God can't brighten it up. Hallelujah. I like to be that city on the hill. When you walk into a dark situation, you walk into an argument at work, or you walk into a problem in your family, be that light. Take Jesus into that situation, because he knows how to fix it. He's the only one that knows how to fix it. He knows what needs to happen in that situation. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Before we were even conceived, before we were born, God looked down through time, and he knew you. He knew where you'd be. He knew what you'd need. God makes no mistakes. I was thinking about this, that before I was born, he knew me. He knew I'd be standing here today. I look around and I think, man, how did I get here? Sister Cisco, how did I get here? Prayer, answered prayer. God doesn't make mistakes. And I thought about, no matter how you were conceived, no matter your beginning, you were made by the hand of God. You were designed by the hand of God. God makes no mistakes. God, there is no problem, there's no trouble that he can't rectify. We all have a purpose. You're important. You matter. Every one of you matter. We're all important in the hands of God. There's no big I. There's no little you. We're all the same. I just happen to be standing here with a microphone, but we're all the same. We've all got a calling on our life. There are Bible studies that need taught. And I mean, even just sometimes just a smile can be a ministry. You walk into a situation and you just light up the place, because your smile changes things. I've heard it said that if you can't find a smile with somebody, give them yours. If you see somebody not smiling, give them yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We all have purpose. I will praise thee before, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. If he never blessed me again, it's been enough. If he never healed me again, it's been enough. If he never did anything for me again, it's been enough. I am blessed to know him and for him to know me. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. There's nowhere I can go, because I tried. There's nowhere I can go that I can hide from him. You want to be joyful? You want to have peace in your life? Put him first. Pastor's been talking a little bit about how you can't dabble with sin. You can't play with sin. It's a little foxes that spoil the vine. Now, God lays things on my heart. Like I said, he talks to me in my car. He'll talk to me in my dreams. When I shut down, that's when he can get in there and say, okay, now you shut up a little while. I can get in there and start talking a little bit. So I'll be listening to a Christian song coming home from work. You know, I come home from work about 11 o'clock, and God's speaking to me, and I'm thinking about what pastor's been teaching about sin. You can't play with sin. You can't dabble with sin. The sin, even the Bible talks about it being fun for a season, but it's destructive and corrosive, and it never stops. And God gave me this, and I know it was him because I don't think like this. I don't talk like this. And these are the words God gave me. And I don't know if he gave me the words first or the picture in my mind first. But sin is like a ravenous beast with an insatiable appetite, roaming the wasteland of lives and time. It never stops. It never rests. It never sleeps. And it's never satisfied, and it's all-consuming. That's why you can't play with it. You know, I think it was fifth grade, somewhere back in elementary school, people ask us what we wanted to be. Hey, I wanted to be a cop, or I wanted to be a firefighter, or I wanted to be a librarian, or I wanted to be this, that, and the other. Nobody sets out to say, hey, I want to be an alcoholic. I want to be a drug addict. Nobody sets out with that, but it all starts with a taste because somebody decided to play with a little bit of sin. And it gets in there and it gets roots. I believe it was Pastor Sisko that used to talk about it's like barbed hooks that get into the skin, and it gets in there. And once it gets a hook in you, and then it gets more into you, and it's hard to get out. But that's how sin is. It's all destructive and it's all consuming. But Jesus knew what we needed, and he was willing to go to the cross. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. And he knows where you are. He knows what you need, and he knows where you are. He's not forgotten about you. Sometimes it feels like he has. Hallelujah. Sometimes he feels like he has. And I look at this, and I think, I'm standing here at PA, TCT, and I think, it just blows my mind how far God reached for me. Now, I've talked about the prodigal son before, but I was thinking about this the other day. He took the prodigal son, went to his dad, and he says, you know what? I want what's coming to me, and I'm going to split, and I'm going to go do my own thing. And the Bible says he wasted all. He spent all on riotous living. And so he was out there doing the party scene, and he was doing all this stuff, and it cost him everything except the love of his father. And when that hit me, it cost him everything except the love of his father. Now, if you didn't have a good relationship with your father, I'm sorry, because Jesus is not like that. You know, even my dad probably would have said, hey, I told you so. But not our Heavenly Father. Because he's waiting. He's saying, come on back. Come on home. I know what you need. I'm not going to drill down on you. He's not saying, aha. He's not standing in your corner just waiting to pound you down. He's in your corner saying, come on. One more step. One more breath. One more time. Come on back. Come on home. Come on. I know where you are. I know what you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God knows exactly what he's doing. And I've thought about that. Yeah, I know that. But do you know that? Do I really know that? Do I get the concept of God knows exactly what he's doing. He calls us, and I know I've had a case of the yebuts most of my life. Moses had a case of the yebuts. I want you to lead a nation out of bondage. Yeah, but I'm slow of speech. And I'm like, yeah, but when he called me to stand behind a platform in front of a lot of people, I'm like, yeah, but I don't like being in front of people. I'm way more comfortable in the back. That's where I always sat in the classroom, in the back. I'd have much rather taken a bad grade than stand up, give an oral report. There's reasons for that I won't go into. Ah, hallelujah. He knows what you need. And when he gave me those words about what sin is, the ravenous beast, I pictured, now I'm not sure if I've seen this image because of the clarity of it. When I saw this, I was like, wow, I wish I was an artist so I could have drawn it. But I saw this hulking, monstrous beast on all fours going through this landscape. Now in this landscape, the land is dark and it's hilly and there's a single tree. And there's no foliage on it, and it's all dark, and the sky is like a purplish and red. And this thing's going through, and as he's going through, all I could see was bodies and clocks. And as he's destroying all these lives, and he's destroying all this time, because he will eat up your time, and he will eat up your life if he can. Hallelujah. When brother, I think it was Dan McLeod, came, he taught us about prayer. I think it was back in November, sometime last year. Brother McLeod, for the special services, man, it was deep and it was awesome. And it was like, and I just couldn't get enough, man. I was eating it up. I was like, this is awesome. Because he was opening doors and opening avenues, opening trains of thought. And he's trying to guide us and take us into places, provide avenues. It's up to us. He'll give you the map. He'll give you the way, but it's up to us to travel the road. And so when Brother McLeod was talking about these things, it was down in Circleville, and I walked up to him afterwards and said, man, this whole thing's been for me. He goes, God knows. I mean, it was just simple. It was just, yeah, okay, God knows. Okay, he may have heard that from somebody else before. Probably did. And he may have had other people that said, come up. Say, you know, this thing's just for me. Because Scripture, I've heard it told, is like a multifaceted diamond. And that with the clarity and the cut of a diamond, as you look at it in certain light from different angles, you'll get certain things out of it, different things out of it. Scripture's like that. You may read a scripture a dozen times, get one thing out of it, and read it again at another time in your life and get something completely different out of it. Like that diamond, like the view of it. And then we had Brother Rick Gonzalez and his wife come recently, and that was pretty awesome. And man, so deep. I just love how I told this to some people. I said, he revealed something to me that I'd long believed, that I was a knucklehead. Because he uses words like knucklehead and sissy and all these things, because he talks on the street level. He's a big guy. He's a tough guy. And he deals with the gangs in Chicago. And that's his life. But God has called him to that. And he answered the call. And he's just the man for that job. God knows. God may be calling on you today to do something in your life. And you're like, yeah, but I don't know how I'd do that. Yeah, but I don't know how I'd get there. Yeah, but I don't know how I'm standing here except through the grace of God. Hallelujah. And then on Saturday, there was a question and answer session. I don't know who asked the question, but if you're here, thank you for asking it. Because the questions that were asked to Brother and Sister Gonzalez were anonymous. I think there was a QR code, if I remember right. And you were able to place your questions and never. And it was one of the simplest questions. as far as the information. I actually listened to it again, the podcast, and he went into it a lot deeper than I remembered. But it was talking about fasting. How do you fast? How do you keep your strength up during a fast? How do you do it, basically? And his answer was deeper, like I said, deeper than I remembered him saying, you lean on the Lord. You trust on the Lord for your strength. Now, I've done one-day fasts, and I've done three-day fasts, and I believe at 2106 we did a seven-day fast. But when you're wanting to go deeper, and God calls you to something deeper. Now, I did not know when I heard that question and answer how relevant that was going to become in my life. This is not boastful. This is hopefully to help somebody else. Because he was exactly right. Deep, you want to go deeper in God, farther in God, higher in God, it requires a little bit of sacrifice. I've not told anyone this. I didn't tell pastor. I didn't tell my family. I haven't told anyone. Up until now, this has just been between me and God. God called me on a fast. See, he knows your heart, and he knows where you want to go, but he also knows what you got to do to get there. He knows sometimes you got to sacrifice. You got to sacrifice your time. You got to sacrifice your efforts. You got to sacrifice some meals. You got to sacrifice some comfort, because it's about dying out to the flesh, moving into the spirit, and reaching higher planes in God. I want to see things happen in this church. I want to see growth in this church. I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to see God move in a miraculous, special way. I want to see the Holy Ghost poured out. This is Pentecost Sunday. I want to see the Holy Ghost poured out like it was on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Signs, wonders. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God hasn't changed, what's changed? Why aren't we seeing these things? We've changed. So to go deeper and farther and higher in God, it's got to get back to the basics. So God called me to a fast. And a couple people said, you losing weight? And I think my reaction was, yeah, maybe a little. A couple people noticed. But I never told anybody till now. God called me on a fast. Now, there's probably people in here that have gone a longer fast, and more power to you. God bless you. And it's an amazing experience. And God, I immediately knew the number when God called me on a fast, how many days he wanted me to fast. I was like, okay, that's interesting. And he called me on it before Easter, but I didn't, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, you're not real gung-ho on going hungry. I wasn't. And there's not a lot to me to begin with. So I was like, okay. So I put it off. And finally, on a Monday, it was just like, today's the day. And I'm not going to lie, it was the first couple days, I was not feeling real spiritual. I was just feeling hungry. But God was starting to do a work, because it's worth the effort, and he knows what I needed. He knows where I needed to go. And so day two, I go to bed, and I do this a lot. I'll go to bed, and I'll turn on my tablet, and I'll turn on YouTube. And I turn my tablet down, face down, so I don't see the light, and I'm just listening to it. And I put on the King James Version Bible, the dramatized version. And when there's when the demons ran into the swine, you hear all the pigs running in the background and all this. And it's really cool. And there's music. And when somebody speaks, you'll hear Peter talk and it'll be a different voice. Or you hear Jesus talk, it'll be a different voice. Really cool. Really cool. Kind of brings it to life even more. And I'll lay down and I go to sleep listening to scripture. And I'll wake up usually just about the time the battery dies, but it's still playing scripture. And it may have gone through books, but I'm hearing this in my subconscious. And the way I know this works is there have been times I've gone to sleep watching the television. And there have been times I've gone to sleep listening to the radio. And in my dreams, I'm dreaming what I'm hearing. I was flying helicopters one time. I woke up and there was a special helicopters on. So I know these things are getting into my subconscious. I said, well, why don't I just put something really good in there? So I started putting scripture in, and man, it's awesome. It's incredible. So Tuesday, the second day of this fast that God called me on, I go to bed and I turn these on and I thought, you know what? Let's just put in Matthew. So I put on Matthew, and Matthew doesn't start out real interesting. It's about a whole bunch of begats this and begats that, and it's the lineages. And so it talks about this one begat that one and this one begat that one. And between this one was 14 generations. And between this one and that one was 14 generations. And the last thought I had that I recall going to bed, sleep on Tuesday, 14. I wonder what the significance of 14 is. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb in the drawer or the sharpest knife in the pack. But I am not dumb. Sometimes I'm a slow study. So Thursday, it came clear to me. Got some clarity. But Tuesday night, I went to sleep listening to Matthew. What was the significance of 14? I wake up Wednesday morning. Day three. Wake up Wednesday morning. I look at the ceiling. And I started my day out with verbally saying, good morning, Lord. What do you want me to read? And immediately, Romans came to mind. Sir, if you could get that scripture ready. Romans. And I looked up at the ceiling, and it happened just like this. I saw the number 8, and it fell forward. And I saw the number 12, and it fell forward. I was like, well, that was pretty cool. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. God knew exactly what I needed to hear right then. He was just confirming, yeah, there's some flesh you need to die out to, son. I've called you on this fast. So, Thursday, day 4. I'm like, okay, day 4. Only 10 more to go. 14. Here's that number again. Oh, okay. I get it now. That was the significance of 14. Because I knew immediately he called me to a 14-day fast. I'd never done a 14-day fast. I'd done a 7-day fast. I think I even did a 10-day fast one time. 14 days off. Man, that's a lot of time. And tell you, I'm not a fan of the 3-day fast. I mean, you can do them, but, you know, I'm not mainly like, wow, that's not fun. 3 days in, I'm thinking, wow, I got, you know, 11 days to go, 10 days to go. But when I got to, well, there was only 9 days left. I'm thinking, you know, now I'm in the single digits. Now I'm in the countdown. Day 7 was a Sunday. I'm talking no food, man, no food whatsoever. I'm talking my work pants getting a little looser, having to tighten that belt. Thankfully, it's one of these times that just click, click, click. Yeah. Didn't have holes. I'd have been making more holes. But, so my pants aren't fitting right. I'm day 7, and Brother L gets up, and he starts talking about perspective. Perspective. And I'm sitting back here. See, nobody knows where God and I are. Nobody knows he's drawing on me to go deeper, farther, higher in him. Because what's on the other side is worth it. It's worth the effort. So Brother L talks about perspective. I'm like, they're going, yeah. God, you're changing my perspective on some things. And you get to realize, you know what?
what happens to this body really isn't as important as what happens to the spiritual man, because this body's going to die. This body's going to wilt, you know, it's going to fall apart. But what's on the inside lasts forever. It's about building up the spiritual man. It's about going deeper in the Spirit of God. Another week, day 14. I'll tell you how cool it is. I'll tell you something else. I take trash out at work. Trash begins to smell good. I have had a teacher that loved her sardines. And it was like every time I'd step into her classroom when she'd had sardines that day, I knew it, and I think everybody else knew it. And I thought, I tell you what, when you haven't eaten for a week, that smells pretty good. It changes your perspective on things. Hallelujah. Fancy Feast looks good. Meow. I saw a commercial. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Hallelujah. That's some other perspective that was changing too. So, but God was changing my perspective because he was taking me deeper, dying out to the flesh, because I want to see more happen in the kingdom of God. I want to see things I've never seen before. I want to do things I've never done before. I'm 64 years old. Time for me is getting short. I want to see things happen in the kingdom of God. Day 14, Sister Pelham gets up here. It's Mother's Day. And I'm thinking, man, if I'd have started Sunday before Monday, it's Mother's Day, I could have eaten something. And Sister Pelham gets up here and she starts talking about heritage. Knowing your roots, knowing where you came from. My apostolic roots go way back, go back generations. It is all about changing my perspective and getting me back to my roots. This is why you're here, boy. This is where I've been bringing you to. This is why you're here. I can use you if you put me first, if you die out to the flesh. Hallelujah. You just give him all. So day four, I'll tell you, day 13, I'm like, one more day. Really? I started counting the days because it had gone so fast. Day one, day three, day five, day seven. Those didn't seem fast at all. But I got into that second week and it was like, wow. Because God starts showing you things. You start desiring more in the spirit than you do in the flesh. God starts to take you places you've never dreamed of going before, empowering you in ways you've never experienced before. Hallelujah. You're building a relationship with him like you've never known before. And it becomes your focus, your center. It's the only thing that's important. Food was like a second thought at that point. And like, God's like, that's it. I've got your attention now. Now I can do something with you. Now I can use you. Now I can work with you. I'm day 13. I'm like, really? It's actually day 13. Day 14. I haven't had a bite to eat in 14 days. I'm thinking, wow. And then, you know, it was easier at the end than it was at the beginning. Because at the end, I'm feeding on him. I'm feeding on his word. I'm feeding on his presence. I'm feeding on the desire to go farther, to go higher, to go deeper in him. At that point, that's all that mattered. So it's Mother's Day. This is what I'm going to tell on you, Mom. So it's Mother's Day. And I was going to take her out to eat. No problem. And I said, where do you want to go? And she says, well, last year we got Subway. How about we do that again this year? I said, okay, I've got to do something right after church, and then I'll go get the Subway, I'll run home, change clothes, and I'll be over. It's day 14. I ordered two subs. And when I went home to change clothes, mine went in the fridge for later, after midnight. After midnight. Like, because I couldn't do it. You know, there were two reasons that I didn't tell anyone. It was personal and private between me and God while I was doing it. It was just something he'd called me to. I wasn't I'm not a braggart. I'm not talking about this to brag. I'm talking about this to say, if I can do it, you can do it. If God's called you and God's called me, we can go through it together. He will not hang you out to dry. He will not ask you. He will not tell you. He will not put you someplace where he won't equip you for the battle. So I go get Subway, and I go home, and I change clothes, and mine went in the refrigerator. So I walk into Mom's house with that bag of Subway, and Mom's sitting on the couch. She goes, "Oh, good, I'm starving." And I thought, okay. And I just had to laugh out loud. It was funny to me because she didn't know. Nobody knew. Only me and Jesus knew. And I'm so thankful for what he called me to do. And it was an enlightening, overwhelming, wonderful experience. And I'm not anxious to do it again. But if he calls me to it, I will. Because I know what's on the other side of that door, like the door at Applebee's, requiring that effort to open. I know what's on the other side. I know it's worth the effort. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth a little bit of discomfort. It's worth a little bit of weakness. It's worth a little bit of dying out to the flesh. Because what you gain in your spiritual walk is tremendous. It's wonderful. And what God has in store for this church, and what God has in store for you, and what God has in store for me is magnificent. And he's going to equip us for the battle, and he's going to take us. It's like a journey. It's like an adventure. It's not a video game. Hollywood has made billions of dollars on adventure movies. This is the greatest adventure you can ever be on, a spiritual walk with Almighty God. The God that has created everything that there is and everything that there will be. He spoke everything into existence except you and me. With us, he soiled his hands, reached into the dust of the earth, formed us, breathed into us the breath of life, and made us a living soul. We're the only thing he did that with. Everything else he spoke. He said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that, and it became. But with us, he took time. He took time. And he took the effort, the loving touch of our God. And he reached into our lives and he formed us out of the dust of the earth. And he said, you're wonderfully made. You're beautifully made. I formed you. Before you were born, I knew you. You've got a call on your life. I can use you if you'll just yield, if you'll just answer, if you'll just hear me, because God knows where you are. God knows what you need. God knew who'd be here today. I didn't know. I don't know if this is for anybody except me. But hopefully it is. Because God knows what you need. If we could have the musicians come back, please. Hallelujah. God knows exactly what he's doing. When you are called, he will equip you. When David stepped onto the battlefield, all he needed was a piece of leather and a rock. And he took down a giant and became a king. That's all he needed. He will equip you. He will provide for you. The Bible talks about the lilies of the field and how they don't toil or spin. It talks about the birds of the air, the sparrows, and how he provides. And how much more he'll provide for us. Because he knows us. Hallelujah. You remember, these are things he spoke into existence. He formed us. He made us. You're special. You matter. You have a purpose. God doesn't make mistakes. Hallelujah. He will lead you. Because he knows where you need to go. Sometimes the road is rocky. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. He will guide you. He's better than any GPS. He's better than any roadmap. Sometimes he'll take you on detours. Sometimes he'll take you places you don't want to go. But he'll guide you because he knows where you need to go, what you need to do, and where you need to be. He will strengthen you for the battle. He will strengthen you for the fight. Because life is hard, but God is good. He will always provide. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never deceive you. He will never let you down. He knows exactly where you are. He may be just a step away, but he just says, call me, I'll be there. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. No matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter what spears or arrows or anything he throws at you, God will protect you. He'll raise up a standard no matter what the enemy thinks in. When there's a flood, he'll provide a boat. When there's a storm, he'll provide shelter. When there's an attack, he'll provide defense. Whatever you need, God will protect you. God will teach you along the way. Sometimes the lessons are hard, sometimes they're tough. God will teach you. You know, the athlete didn't become an athlete overnight. There was struggles and there was problems and there was resistance along the way. But they were teaching their bodies, teaching that if I want to win, it's going to require some effort. You see the athlete when they're performing, but you don't see the late nights and the early mornings and the sacrifices and the workouts they did their whole life to get to that point. And it's the same way in our spiritual walk with God. And he will love you. When you are at your lowest, when you're the most unlovable you could be, God will love you. He'll love you when you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. He'll love you when all others have forsaken you and turned their back on you. He'll love you. He'll love you when you look in the mirror and say you're worthless, you're useless, you're no good. He'll love you. Because God knows what you can be. God knows what he's called you to be. God knows what he made you to be. He loves you. We could all stand. This took some twists and turns I didn't count on. But God knows. God knows. Originally, I was going to talk about a message about conquered ground and having to retake conquered ground and the frustration of that. And I may speak on that some other time, God willing. But God did a change up on me because he knew maybe what I needed today to hear. That he loves me in spite of myself. You know, when I was a young man growing up in church, I would hear ministers come in and as I recall, as a boy, hearing them talk about, yeah, I used to go to parties and I used to do concerts and I used to do this, that, and the other. And I'd look at these guys and I'd think, yeah, you're all right. Look at you now. We made it. So what's the big deal? I want my time of fun. The one thing I don't remember them talking about are the scars. Scars that remain. The shame that remains. The guilt. God forgives you of all that. God takes the weight. Sometimes the memories remain. Regret remains. God, where could I be right now if I hadn't done those stupid things, if I hadn't gone those ways, if I hadn't done like the prodigal, the wasteful son, where would you be now? What could you do now, God? But God is always working and always caring. And when he forgives, he forgets. The Bible says he caught as far as the east is from the west. He throws it away. He throws it away. He doesn't remember it anymore. This altar is open. If you feel, just you just want to get closer to God.